A warm welcome to Disky Talk with Luyolo. If you're tuning in for the very first time, please do like, share, subscribe, and hit the notification bell button. If you've been a part of the journey, I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. So, on today's episode, we discuss all things Euro 2020, round of 16, and we preview the quarterfinals. And as always, I am your host with the most, and I go by the name of Luyolo. So on today's episode, I'm joined by three guests. I'll start by introducing Pumuzo. How are you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here. How about yourself?
All is well. Glad that you could join us. And then next to him, Dumi. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me again.
Great. And then last but not least, the older brother.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Tempo?
I'm getting you, man.
All as well. First time on the pod.
Yeah, hopefully I look good on camera. Make you guys look good.
Right, so let's get straight into it, gentlemen. So we've seen a lot of action over the past couple of days with regards to the Euro 2020. And the first segment for today's episode is round of 16 exits. We will start with the teams that were disappointing, and then we'll move on to the teams which impressed us and will be contesting in the quarterfinals. So I'll start with you, Dumi. Which are some of the teams that disappointed you in the round of 16 which have been knocked out?
Well, it's two teams. France and Germany were the two countries which disappointed me in the round of 16. You know, I feel like they didn't really pitch. They didn't, especially Germany. They didn't really pitch. They didn't really play well, in my opinion. And then France, I felt like Switzerland were the team who dictated most of the game, throughout the whole game. And then France just, okay, they got the goals, but they just couldn't, you know, they were not like the France of the first game. They couldn't mash it up together, I feel. But yeah, those are the two teams which disappointed me. In my opinion.
Is that one?
For me, I'd only say France.
Yeah.
Every other result for me was actually acceptable.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are too hard on England, honestly. I don't understand why
England
you are sad that Germany is out. England deserved to win. Flat and simple. Doesn't matter if you feel like Germany didn't come up that much, which I feel like they did. England was just a better team, better set up. But honestly, for me, you're right. France, they were labored. I feel like they took Switzerland as little children.
Yeah.
You could even see with the first half. That wasn't the France we've been seeing, honestly. That is not the France World Cup that we know.
Yeah.
So they lost it for themselves. They came back 3-1. After 3-1, I'm thinking, hey, game, set, match. Yet again, labored. They didn't track back. They didn't do anything right after being 3-1 up. So only France, honestly.
Interesting.
For me, there are three teams that disappointed me. It's France, Netherlands, and Germany. I'll start with France because, you know, that's the big one. I feel like the main thing with France was complacency. You know, I feel that they just, okay, in the beginning of the game, Switzerland got their goal, and then France turned up for me. Like, France were, they were on. They were the better team. And I say this because, you know, what Switzerland did well is when they got the ball, they slowed down the game for themselves, you know? And that's why Xhaka had such a great game, because he was dictating that. He slowed down the game for Switzerland. It's not like other teams who play a low block, and the moment they get the ball, they boot it out. They also try to, you know, slow down
control
the game and control tempo, like France can't score if we have the ball. But then they miss a penalty, and then France, they couldn't recover from that, and France just punished them. And from that point, you just saw France's quality. And there could have been five goals from France, in my opinion, if Rabiot had an attacking instinct, you know? So France, but where France let it go for themselves is after they got that Pogba goal, they thought the game was won. The coach taking out players like Griezmann, you know, resting them for the next match. Everybody in the France squad was like, okay, we've wrapped this up. And even when Switzerland scored their second goal, France, there was no fear in France. You know, a team would usually, when they score the goal and with the time that's left, a team would usually be like, okay, let's build our defense. Let's focus on our defense now. France, I don't know, they just went there and I guess they undermined Switzerland and they got punished for that. And when you get into extra time, they had no legs. You know, there's more we can go into that. But now with Netherlands, I feel it also goes to coaching and, you know, some of the problems that we saw in the group stages. We thought that Netherlands lost the 2-goal lead against Ukraine, you know, we said we were worried about those type of things, and, you know, that came to show in this game against the Czech Republic. I still do feel that they would have won the game without if they didn't get the red card, but still before that the performance was poor as a whole from Netherlands. And then Germany, again, it's coaching. I think the coach he did well when he had certain type of players, and this is a new generation for Germany, and maybe he doesn't know how to utilize some of these players, because I don't know why players like Sané and Gnabry are not starting games like this. And they had nothing. Even if England didn't put on a great performance, but England deserved to win that game, that just shows you how poor Germany was. Those are my three teams.
Yeah, so with regards to Germany, I definitely agree with you on that. I just feel that Joachim Löw doesn't have the players for what he was trying to do. You know, he was trying to play with the 3-4-3, and the problem then becomes, if you're going to play with the 3-4-3, let's look at the midfield, for example. You're going to go with sort of a double pivot, in a sense, or you can have one pivot and one player who's slightly offensive. But when you look at Kroos and you look at Gundogan, they're a lot more suited to play on the front foot. You know, they dictate games. You know, the defensive side, that's not who they really are, you know. And also, when you look at their forward line players, Havertz, Müller, for me, they're not penetrative enough, you know. And when you then leave players like Gnabry and Sané on the bench, it leaves a huge question mark with regards to your tactics and your approach to the game. And I say that because no matter how much the game develops and no matter how modernized it becomes, I still think that you need players who are able to run at players. You need players who are able to eliminate a man or two. You know, you still need penetrative players who play very aggressive and direct. And I think that had he started with the 4-3-3, like I had mentioned previously, and had he been able to bring Kimmich into the midfield, put him at the base, have Toni Kroos move up a lot further up the pitch, allow him to dictate and play as an 8, the role that he plays for Real Madrid, and then have Gundogan playing as an 8 or a 10 even, and having him arrive late to complement the striker, because Germany don't really have an out-and-out striker. I think then that German side would have been a lot more suited to actually compete. And in my opinion, I just didn't see them pitch. You know, it's as if Germany, this tournament, in my opinion, they only played one game, and that was against Portugal.
Yeah.
And that's it. Every other game, they didn't pitch, you know. And moving on to Netherlands, I was also very disappointed, and it boils down to coaching. And funny you mentioned that, because reports have just come out that he got the sack, which I think was obvious, writing on the wall, you know. So Netherlands, yes, a lot of people say that certain key players were injured, but that's just shifting the goalposts for me. If you find yourself in a position where you're playing against the Czech Republic and you can qualify for the quarterfinals, and you have players like Gini Wijnaldum on song, I think it's shifting the goalposts. They could have done better, you know. And I must say that Wales, and I know this is unpopular, and I'll say Wales because if you look at Wales, the momentum they had going into the round of 16 clash versus Denmark, the Danes, a lot of people are calling them passion merchants, that they play off passion.
Yeah.
But if you look at Wales, they were a lot more organized, they were a lot more structured than the Danes, you know. And I'm very disappointed because of how they started. In the first 10, 15 minutes, they were doing really well. You know, Bale was coming into the game, was having shots at goal, was dictating play, you know, hitting the diagonals, until the back three, being Christensen, Yannick Vestergaard, and Kerr, decided to grab a hold of the ball and start dictating play from the back. Then you had Højbjerg and Delaney popping up in midfield, and that's how the first goal came, by virtue of Kasper Dolberg whipping one in. You know, that's when they started to get control of the game. So I was disappointed because of how Wales just faded away and they lost 4-0.
Yeah.
That was very disappointing for me. Yeah, that was very disappointing. But anyway, let's move on to the teams which impressed us. Which teams impressed you guys in the round of 16? I'll start with you, Tepo.
It's going to be unpopular, but England.
No!
No, guys, listen. Look, I feel like you guys are being too hard on the English. I said it to you guys. I think there's a vision of football that you guys envision English should play because of the team, the players that they have. And they're not playing it. Boo-hoo! What they're doing right now is working. It's working. Yes, I'm not favorable of the 3-4-3. I am not. I'd rather play a four with a 2-pivot or a 3-3. Rather. But honestly, the way he set it up with your Rice and your Phillips there, he stifled Havertz. Yes, Müller didn't play that well, but he stifled him. On the wings, there was nothing going on, guys. What do you want England to do to prove that they have something going here?
Okay.
They have something going. I'm sorry. Look, England for me impressed me against a good German side.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if you say Havertz didn't come through. You guys about star players. You telling me that the Netherlands star players didn't come through?
Yeah.
What's the difference now? They didn't come through, but they still have quality players.
Yeah.
England have quality players, and as much as you don't like how Southgate puts them up, what was the score? It wasn't 1-0.
But it was 2-0.
It was 2-0.
Yeah.
Meaning they had their emphasis going forward. Even with that Rice and Phillips there, something happened. Yes, Grealish came on and made the difference, which I feel like he should have started Grealish anyway. They could have won 3-4-0 for me if Grealish started the game.
So you think that they put up that lineup? I just want to remind the viewers, the lineup was Stones, Maguire,
Walker.
Trippier, Shaw, Phillips,
Rice,
Saka, Kane,
Sterling.
Those are two attacking players. So you're saying you put that up just to stifle Havertz and all the attacking players?
I'm not saying.
Don't you think he put that? Okay, guys, I think he put that up because he knew that Germany would have most of the ball. So he felt like, okay, let me just line up all these defensive players so that they're the ones who can actually chase the game for me, rather than only like putting attacking players who are only going to be focused on the attack.
But I don't disagree with that. But why is it wrong for him to put that 2-pivot to stop Havertz from doing anything, to stop Kimmich, which he was in the wrong place of the field? I agree with you, should be in a 4-3-3, because Kimmich should be in that middle. But now,
they won 2-0, okay. I want to say it's because of Grealish when he came in.
How many chances did Germany have?
Okay.
Are you going to say that's because... How many chances did Germany have? Are you going to say that because Havertz and Müller really didn't feel like playing?
Okay.
Come on.
What's your point, dude?
My point is, I felt like, yes, it worked out, but that wasn't really like his plan. It just happened to work out. It's like what I mentioned the last time about Mourinho and Tottenham and his style of play. It just happened to work out. And then he brought in Grealish. Remember what I said? He had two attacking players. He brought in Grealish, another attacking player, to serve that link. Kane was starving that whole game.
He took out an attacking player for another attacking player, though. It's not like he took out a midfielder.
Who did he take out?
He took out Saka.
Yeah, Saka compared to Grealish, who do you think is better on the board and attacking going forward?
Of course, I don't understand why Saka is starting
in the first place. Okay, that's where
he
messed up, on the lineup. Now, when Grealish came in, he was the one who was able to feed Kane more, because it gets to a point where Kane had to go to his own half to get the ball.
Okay, let's move on.
How do you feel?
Firstly, Dumi has been going on about two attacking players. Bakayoko Saka is an attacker. He's an attacker. So you had three attacking players.
Yes,
in there. And, you know, England did what they had to do. And I feel for that game, there was no better lineup. Why I say this, right? Yes, he has the players to play ball, right? But he hasn't done that before. And to do it in a tournament, like, you need time to build, you know, if you want Sancho, Grealish, all these fantastic names, and you want to play, like, possession football against Germany, you need time for these guys to develop a relationship. And he hasn't been doing that. So to all of a sudden play, those guys are going to be running around not knowing what to do. Look at Portugal when they were playing with Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, you know, all these star names. But, you know, just throwing them in the field, no coaching, it wasn't going to work. So for this game, he did what he had to do, playing those defensive players. Because, you know,
let's defend. Let's defend. And they've played together. He's built, you know, we've always said like England has so much attacking players. Why doesn't he, play a different style of football? But with he's been cultivating the defense, and he played what he trusts. So I agree with Tepo that England did what they had to do, you know. And Tepo is right. We have an image in our head of how we want England to play because of the players they have. And
so, with regards to England, there's two sides of the coin for me. There's the objective side and there's the subjective side. I'll start with the subjective side, right? With the subjective side, the nuance for me comes from the fact that you mentioned there's all these talented players and they should all be fitting in. I mean, we all have a picture of what England should be playing.
Yeah.
We all have a picture of the preferred 11, right? And subjectively speaking, some of those players who are playing there would not play, right? And some players who are sat at home would be playing in my England 11.
Yeah.
Because that's from a subjective perspective. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you look at it, in my England 11, Sancho starts,
yes.
Grealish starts, Foden starts, Billingham starts, you got Kane up top, and then I got Calvin Phillips, right, as one sitter.
One sitter, yeah.
Do you understand? And all those other offensive players. And then I even moved Declan Rice to centre-back alongside Stones. I would even leave Maguire out, because that's subjective. Do you understand? That's based on how I envision the game should be played.
Mm.
You know, because that's the school of thought I'm from when it comes to football, you know. However, when you flip the coin and you look at the objective side, at the end of the day, as much as England have all these big name players, the first thing that you have to realize is the type of clubs they play for, A. B, you also have to realize that a lot of them play under different systems, you know. So to try now and get these guys to ball as a team which is going to hold on to possession, it becomes tricky. So you have to find the balance. West Ham aren't a team that you wouldn't really call them a ball possession based side, right?
Yeah.
Leeds are. So when you put Phillips and Rice, and now you're expecting Rice to complement Phillips in that sense, it becomes a bit difficult. So one thing that I admire about Southgate is adaptation, which I think is a prized component when it comes to coaching. You always have to be able to set up for what's in front of you, right? And I remember actually having a conversation, and I was saying that Sterling and Rashford aren't my favorite players, but against Germany, I'd start them. And the reason why I'd start them is because on the counter, those two, they are some of the best players within the world on the counter. Do you understand? How many goals has Rashford scored when he's had space in behind? When all he has to do is just run and finish. So many. Sterling, same thing, you know. And also, you have to consider that Sterling and Rashford, because they're so quick and they can also run with the ball, they bring you 10, 15 yards up the pitch, right? Grealish can dribble, right? But does he have speed like a Sterling? Does he have that breakaway speed like a Saka? No, he doesn't. And if then you're going to be playing against a team that will have ball possession for most of the game, it kind of becomes counterproductive if you're going to have a ball-playing player who's a playmaker but won't really assist you defensively. Because how much of the ball is he going to have? Not much, you know? And that's why Grealish was perfect for the last 15 minutes, when the game started to open up, when we have to throw the kitchen sink at it. But what I loved about England, and you guys know how I feel, you know, I'm the last person to wax lyrical about England because I think these guys are overrated. But what I loved about them is they graduated in that game for me from a sense that they were more mature. It was a much more mature performance. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the truth is, those guys are so comfortable with playing with each other, you know. And you mentioned the two attackers. It's actually five. Because, sure, he gives you that outlet when it's time to attack. And the first goal came from Shaw, right? On the right-hand side, Trippier gives you that outlet. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, yes, on paper, it might have looked, oh, this is so defensive. However, it was a hybrid system that transitions into an offensive system if we got the chance to actually counter these guys. But if we don't get the chance, we're solid. We're going to stifle the game. We're going to stay in the game as much as possible. And that's what Southgate is good at. And at the end of the day, do I like what's happening? No. It's mediocre. It's average. It's boring. It's only nice when Grealish comes in and when Saka's there and when Foden's there. But when those three guys are not there, it's boring. But
they get the results.
Who's playing in the quarterfinals?
Yeah,
England and not Germany.
It's just that you guys didn't like what you saw. I like how you said it. It's just because you just didn't like it. But England did not play bad. They played well. They played to the system. And they won the game.
But anyway, gents. Which other team impressed you guys?
Switzerland. They put on a performance. They... You know, a big thing with when you verse bigger teams, some teams lose the game before they even play.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the way they set up, the mentality, you know, it's just Switzerland didn't come for any of that. They came to play, and they came to win the game. You see, they made sure they kept a hold of the ball. They attacked the way they were structured, and they got the result that they deserved. You know, even the from a coaching perspective, if you look at the extra time, Switzerland looks like they could still go another 90 minutes. France were done, you know. They
so
were,
many injuries. Yeah,
yeah, and they isolated players really well. Kylian Mbappe, he wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... And even the two goals that they conceded, it was... I think it was more of timing of morale. You know, you lose, you miss a penalty that puts you 2-0 up, and when you get that 2-0, you can basically lock up the game. So you're thinking, oh my God, that was our chance. You know, so you don't even get a time to recover, and that's when Benzema punishes you, and that's what France kind of did. They showed their quality. Like there were moments of brilliance from Benzema and Pogba that put them ahead, but as a team, Switzerland, you know, just tore them apart. Honestly.
I'd have to agree with Pumoto. Like he said, Switzerland came to play. I feel like in this tournament, France were like a team where if they feel good, they play good. That's why they played so well against Germany. So when it came to this game, it's like Switzerland didn't allow, especially like Pogba, to have like time on the ball. But even though he was able to get the ball and pick out the passes, but most of the players, like even Mbappe, they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't get the time to, you know, develop that confidence, that ball to roll, you know, to be able to play. So that was a really good approach from Switzerland. Also, I feel like I'd have to agree with Pumut in terms of he said that there was a point where when they scored their first goal, Germany like kind of, I felt like Switzerland had control for most of the game. There was a point where they played a triangle, like 1-2-3, like twice, the same triangle before they switched the ball, like playing to their own tempo. Players like Mbolo, the number 9, I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah,
Mbola had a good game.
Yeah.
And Granit Xhaka, you know, making the quarterback passes. You know, it was just like, they just controlled the game, in my opinion, the tempo and everything.
They look like they belong.
Yeah, they look like they belong. You know, so they didn't allow France to play, because I felt like France were looking for the shot and then Switzerland were looking for the pass inside. Because, like, I don't know how many shots outside the box France had, because I don't know if it was because, you know, maybe Switzerland had a proper defensive shape. Or that's the only thing they could do. You know, they couldn't like really connect passes together to get to the box. You know, like they did with Germany. That connection play was not there. It was only there maybe like was it the second goal with the Benzema and Mbappe, the flick. Yeah, it was the second goal where Benzema headed it. So for me, So for me, that just showed bravery from Switzerland. They just like you said, they came to play, you know, they were not having kill that noise, they were not having France's nonsense, you know.
Yeah. You know, another thing I'd like to add is that I feel like France were, I don't know, I personally think they're having an identity crisis. You know, I heard like way back, Pogba, we was talking about the Euro 2016 in the final, they already thought they won that game against Portugal, and look what happened. And again, look at, I feel it's the same thing with this game, they already felt they won the game because Switzerland scored a goal, France switch on, and France switch on, then France get their 3-0 goal, and then they feel they won the game. They go back, you know, that arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, even their star players like Mbappe, and, you know, Mbappe, I feel he was having a little bit of a identity crisis
that whole
this whole tournament, because, you know, he's 2018, he was He was maybe playing for the team. Like, he's not the best guy in the thing, you know. He's got the talent, but now I don't know. It's like everything was on him, and he's trying to do
Stop
everything
doing
by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see. So
I don't understand the identity crisis thing with France. These guys just won the World Cup. How can they come to Euro all of a sudden and have an identity crisis?
You know, let me give you an example. In world football, especially international football, let's take it to international football. The general pattern, you'll hardly ever see a team that wins an international tournament, then they go and win the next. If they do that, Spain, when they were able to win back-to-back, you know. But generally speaking, what happens is you sort of climb this mountain and you reach the pinnacle. And then it's like, what's next? So when they get there, I think that at a point, there's certain things that have to change, right? And Pep Guardiola mentioned this when he had an interview with Rio Ferdinand. And he was saying that, how long can you keep the same team, the core, and keep winning and keep producing success? And the truth is, not very long. Because at some point, you have to shuffle the pack, you know, and certain things change within the team. And also what you have to realize is the introduction of Benzema. It completely changed the system.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. Whereas Benzema is a complete player, and then Giroud completes the system, you know. So for the system, Giroud was a lot better, in my opinion, you know, because he's the man they play off, and he allows everybody to do what they need to do. Whereas now, with Benzema, if you check, it's like they were deliberately looking for him. And at times, they were deliberately forcing that Mbappe and Benzema link. So, to a certain extent, I agree with him. However, the other confluence would have to be the coach for me. And I say that because when you look at the approach, how you start a football game is very important. Just your approach alone can lose you a game. And I say that because once you start, I look at the lineup. Okay, 3-4-3. I don't know. I don't think it's the best. Not for this French national team. Okay, personnel. Fine. The two left backs are injured. I'll accept that. So he has to bring Rabiot in on the left side. I understand that. You know, I totally understand that. And then you have a look at him bringing in Langley. And then I'm like, I'm not sure about that. Because one thing I know about Switzerland is they play very aggressive football, you know. They play the ball wide and they put that ball into the box and they attack headers, and that's how they scored. Langley, not the best in the air, you know. And also, everybody knows I've had my reservations about Kimpembe, who's also another who struggled. So when you start then with a system that people aren't accustomed to, then it becomes a bit tricky, right? He changes the system, he goes to a back four. They look more comfortable now. That's when now they started to play free-flowing football. And also by virtue of the fact that they'd gone down, Kunto had mentioned, so they grew back into the game, you know. My only concern is how they accepted that, okay, fine, this game, they accepted that loss, in my opinion.
Oh.
Like, it just got taken out of their hands, and they were winning 3-1, you know? You got 10, 15 minutes left, manage the game, you know? Manage the game. You don't have to keep attacking, and you don't have to stay open. That's when the fullbacks come tucked in. That's when the midfielders are a lot more assured with their passing. Don't lose balls unnecessarily so, you know? If you're not sure, clear your lines. You know, and that's when you look at a Switzerland who, throughout the game for me, they were absolutely fantastic. And what I loved about Switzerland, they played with the arrogance to say, we belong here. This is us. We're at the Euros, you know. We're a team just like you guys. And they looked like they were going to the quarterfinal for me. Not at any point did they panic, you know. Rodriguez misses the penalty, they were still calm. They're losing 3-1. These guys are still calm.
Still fighting.
It's still the same.
No problem at
it's
all.
It's still the same system. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're still building up through the middle, playing that ball wide and looking for that cross, you know? The third goal, which is the equalizer, which was actually a really beautiful finish, that, for me, epitomizes how composed they were. Because in that position, it's very easy for him to take a first-time shot because, I see the goals. You know? How he just kills Kimpembe, which also poor defending, like I've always been saying. how he kills Kimpembe and he slots that ball in, right? And Pumuzo mentioned momentum, right? How they grew into the extra time. Like, I was thoroughly impressed by Switzerland, you know?
Yeah.
The arrogance they played with, how comfortable they are on the ball, the beautiful performance by Granit Xhaka. I never knew he had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody ever. Yeah. I don't know who that man is.
I've been watching this man week in, week out at Arsenal. I'm like, I've never seen this guy do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a lighter note, Roma were negotiating and the deal looked good because the price tag was low. The price has skyrocketed. Juventus are now interested. And that's the crazy thing about football.
Yeah.
That is the crazy thing about football. So, gentlemen, let's move on to the preview of the quarterfinals. So, I want your four teams that will advance to the semifinals. Start with you, Pumuzo.
Alright, so it's Italy against Belgium, right?
Yeah.
Italy are just, they're looking good, right? They're looking good. But I don't know, man. And the thing is, Belgium won't have Hazard and De Bruyne. But I guess Carrasco's coming in, and also what's his name?
Mertens.
Yeah. So, but I'll give it to Belgium. I'll give it to Belgium. I don't know why. It's just a feeling.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. Then next up, we have England is against
Ukraine.
There's no way England is not making it to the finals. I'm sorry for skipping, but like England, I feel there's no way that England can mess this up for themselves. You know, they have good games coming up if they win all their games, and then there's Spain against
Switzerland.
Spain are growing. You know, they're growing, and I feel Switzerland, they lose. They don't have Xhaka, you know.
They don't have Granit.
But
quarterback.
But I do think that Spain will take this one. Spain are growing into the tournament. They're scoring, I think it's 5 goals, like,
yeah,
back to back. You know, so that problem that they had is, you know, it looks like they're resolving that. And then the last fixture is Ukraine against
it's Denmark and Czech.
Yeah. Denmark and Czech. Denmark, man. They're gonna ride this passion to the end. I'm telling you.
Passion merges.
They're gonna ride it to the end.
Seppo, your four teams?
I'm gonna start with the Croatia one and Czech. I'm gonna go for Czech.
Yeah.
Because I think they're just bullies. The Czech are just bullies, and I feel like they're gonna bully the Croatians.
So Czech to beat Denmark.
Denmark, sorry. Because they're just bullies. I don't see passion. Trumping bullies.
Yeah.
Belgium, Italy. I'm with Pumuto. Italy is looking good. And I feel like a team which is gonna win these finals, it has to be a two-way team. Good in defense and can also attack and finish their chances.
Yeah.
But Belgium have talented players. Belgium are filled with talent, and with talent, it's unpredictable. So I'm gonna go with Belgium because honestly, I'm just a Belgium fan already.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna go with Belgium. But honestly, there's that bit which wants me to say Italy, but I'm gonna go Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
With England and Ukraine, don't curse England. Don't say that there's no chance, because you know what England gonna do. They're going to disappoint you and freaking lose. That's what they did in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put my feet down with England. They had a great performance against Germany for me.
Yeah.
And if they carry on, and Southgate is pragmatic about his decisions and how he goes about it, sure, no problem. Definitely. I see England going through Ukraine with no problem. And which one's the last one?
It's Spain and Switzerland.
The fact that Xhaka is there and not there, and what's his name?
Who, from Switzerland?
Yes, from Switzerland.
Who has got a yellow card? Who are you saying who's not there? Or
yeah.
From Switzerland? No, it's just Xhaka.
It's just Xhaka.
Yeah.
The fact that, okay, it is just Xhaka.
Yes.
The fact that Xhaka's not there might be a little bit weakened, but if they bring the same spirit they brought against France, anything is possible, so I'm going to go Switzerland. Because honestly, I don't rate Spain that much.
Yeah.
I really don't rate Spain.
Yeah.
What's your
I'll start with the Czech and Denmark game.
Yeah.
That one is a tough one to call. I feel like it's gonna be a tightly contested game. It's gonna be like Sweden and Ukraine, that type of game, you know, where they're just gonna have it with each other, you know. But I think that this is gonna be a Cinderella movie, you know. Denmark is just gonna go through. They went through tribulations in the beginning, but now they're just gonna ride out the passion, you know. So I say Denmark, and then Switzerland and Spain, you know, this is gonna be a bold position game, I feel. You know, it's just gonna be like the game is gonna be won in the midfield in that game, I feel. Who's gonna have more of the ball? So I'd say the fact that Granit is not gonna be there maybe to, you know, control the tempo, I would say Spain is gonna win that one. And then the next game is Italy and Belgium. You know, if Kevin De Bruyne was playing, I feel like he would be able to, because Italy is just so sound defensively. They're very compact. You know, De Bruyne is the type of guy who can find those passes inside those middle. So, like, if he's not there, and the thing is with Hazard, he's the type of guy who carries the ball. I don't see
Hazard
him.
Hazard is not there as well.
You see. Mm-hmm. So, because of Italy's defense and also going forward, man, even off the ball, the way they just pounce on the ball and just try to get it, I would say Italy's going to win that one. And then the next one is, please remind me.
England.
Oh, England and Ukraine. I watched the Ukraine and Sweden game. Good game. Ukraine is just so technically sound and they have that passion, you know.
Yeah.
With England, yes, you know, they find a way.
Yeah.
They find a way, you know, but I think Shevchenko will do something, you know, with the Ukraine squad. You know, they're just very passionate. So I'll say Ukraine is going to win that game against England.
Can I say one more?
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, fine. You're still not convinced by England. Southgate didn't play your best team.
Yeah.
Because of the opposition. Don't you think against Ukraine, maybe your Grealish can start? Your Sanchez can start?
I disagree with that.
So,
let me give it to Pumuzo, then I'll get into it.
I'm sorry. I rushed through the predictions. I forgot how good Ukraine played.
Yeah,
like that Sweden game. Yeah, it was. And throughout the tournament, I think they're gonna stun England, and especially because of, you know, England are the big heads that they developing right now. When you look at that, their group, their bracket, England are the big team. You know, it seems like it's an easy route. But then again, you looked at France and Sweden. You know, I would have bet my whole house that France is going through, but I don't have a house anymore. You see, so it just shows that in the Euros, like every team is. There's no
fear.
You have to play the games.
You have to play the games. Yeah.
And I think that England might be psychologically, England might think they won the game before they won the game.
Yeah.
And with players like Yarmolenko, Zinchenko, and the form that they're in. And as well, if you look at that bracket, Ukraine are not going to get a better chance, and they know that. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go into that game. Yeah, so I changed from England to Ukraine.
Yeah. Interesting. So, first and foremost, I must say, Group of Death is a scam.
It's a scam.
Into the point, Tepo, when you mentioned them playing that, I think that would be their undoing. And that would be them underestimating who they're coming up against, right? As much as England might have the better players, they might have all the superstars, I think the way in which they approach the game against Germany, that's how England have to approach Ukraine. And it sounds crazy to a lot of people, but analytically so, if you look at it, England in that game have to come to a point of acceptance very quickly that if these guys don't have more ball possession, it's cool, right? And sometimes, even if you're the bigger team with the superstars, you have to sometimes allow that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I think if they go gung-ho and they open it up against Ukraine, I think Ukraine will punish them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it also goes to his point. His point was that a lot of them haven't really gelled together, where they're playing free-flowing football. Even against the lesser sides or lesser opposition during the tournament, England haven't played good football. So even when it was set up for them to go out and play good football, they just couldn't find those patterns in midfield, the combination passes. So I think England have to be a bit negative in order to get the positive result. I think they have to approach the game the very same way, change nothing. You know, because if they go and they open it up, and I think that'll be their undoing, in my opinion. Because a lot of people underestimate this Ukraine side. And this Ukraine side, very passionate, A, B, very aggressive, technically very good on the ball, and they know how to control a football game. Even when they lose it, they know how to control a football game. You know, they're relentless and they don't give up. And one thing I've learned throughout this tournament is that the spirit of teamwork has come to the fore again, right?
It's an issue,
football, right? Football at a time, you know, there's a time when football was starting to move away from that team spirit. It wasn't as nuanced. It was about star players. But this tournament, something that has, it has reiterated that football is a team sport. You have to play the games. No game is ever won on paper, you know, and because of that, I just think that that's the spirit that Ukraine will have going into that game. So I'll have to go the other way as well. I think Ukraine will stun England as well, because I think England will be, I think they'll be a bit arrogant and they'll feel like they've won the game already. Because the biggest thing with England, which is an issue for me, is how before a tournament has even started, they've created a slogan. It's coming home.
It's coming home.
So that's all these guys are thinking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the problem then becomes that you're so focused on the end result as opposed to the process. And if you focus on the end result, you end up messing up the process because you don't even see what you're doing. That's my opinion. Ukraine to win that one. Moving on, Czech versus Denmark. I think that is a game that a lot of people should actually be looking forward to. I think that's going to be a beautiful game of football. You know, and what I like about it is both teams, technically, they are very, very balanced and very organized as well. The Danish team, oh, I love how they set up. And Yannick Vestergaard is actually my favorite player within that Danish squad. And Kasper Dahlberg as well. I think he did really well coming in for Yusuf Poulsen in the previous game. So it's going to be interesting to see how they square up. The Czech will be very physical. But I think the technical nuance that Denmark possess and the passion merchants that they are, I think I'll give it to Denmark. Moving on, we got Spain versus Switzerland. You know, one thing people are not realizing about the Spanish national team, they create so many clear-cut chances.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, if you count the amount of chances they create, you know, think about that game against Croatia. In the last 10 minutes alone, how many chances did they create? They got to a point where these guys are even passing the ball to each other in the box instead of finishing.
I think they had 19 chances the whole game attempted.
You see, this Spanish national team, yes, it's not your prime Spanish national team, but one thing they do, they play very direct, and I think Pedri has been very instrumental to that. He drives them and he creates so many chances, and he puts it on a platter each and every single time. So I think because a lot of teams aren't privy to that, I think Spain have an outside chance of causing an upset within this tournament, and people don't realize that because they create so many clear-cut chances. And if you start to see the pattern, they're starting to put those chances away. You understand? It's five goals the other day, five goals again the other day. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you're saying 19 chances, if you're able to do that, on another day, that becomes seven goals, you know? Not that I'm saying that they'll put seven past in Italy or Belgium later on. However, one symptom of a champion is being able to create clear-cut chances consistently. So I'll give it to them. And then we move on to Belgium and Italy. Look, I think Belgium, in the beginning of the tournament, they could get away with winning without Hazard and De Bruyne. But those two, without them, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to actually penetrate. And Italy, for me, have been very impressive. Italy will win the game, subject to Mancini bringing Locatelli back into the midfield and dropping Verratti. Mm-hmm. If he brings Locatelli back into the midfield, he's an unknown entity. Very difficult to mark, on and off the ball, very good. Very balanced footballer, offensively, defensively. And he's a goal threat that comes deep from midfield, which is difficult to mark. So I feel like in that midfield, if he brings Locatelli back in, he allows Jorginho to sit at the base, dictate. You got Locatelli, you got Barrera. I feel like the Italians will come up good against against Belgium. And then That's it. That's my four teams. So those are my four teams, gentlemen, which I think are definitely going to go through. And it's going to be interesting. Please do, in the comment section, please do comment. Tell us which teams you think will advance all the way. And yeah, gentlemen, I've thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And I really look forward to seeing how the rest of the tournament pans out. Got the quarterfinals, and then we go to the semis. And then there's the final. So I thoroughly look forward to seeing who will walk away with this one. But for now, it's all things quarterfinals. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy the upcoming fixtures of the quarterfinals. Thank you very much, Tepo, for coming through.
Pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks, bro.
You know it's telepathic. I got you. Thank you. Signing out.
Perfect.
Sorry, gents, couldn't do the other stuff. I'm looking at the time.
Yeah.
But
for interesting, what young player of the tournament? I chose Isaac.
You chose Bridget.
Can you? Okay, let's just pause and pause on that side as well.